service.
Good morning, church. It is good to be here with you this morning. Welcome. So welcome if you were here just the other day. Welcome if you haven't been here for a long time. Welcome if you grew up or if you are growing up here, however big you already are. Welcome if you're new. Welcome whatever your background. Whether you came from UCC or Catholic or Methodist or Presbyterian or Episcopalian or Lutheran or none at all. Welcome whatever your favorite ice cream flavor is. Oh, it should be chocolatey. Welcome, everyone. It's good to be together. A few announcements. Our greeter this morning was Tammy. Christy Kinneman is our liturgist. Our radio sponsors are Jamie and Karen Whitwer in memory of Esther and Jack Rindle. If you'd like to sponsor one of our weekly radio broadcasts, that's $90 a week. We do have a number of people who tune in on the radio every Sunday, so it's an important ministry for us. Our communion table is open to everybody because it belongs to Jesus. And all through Lent, we are having Wednesday evening soup bread discussions. They're downstairs. Somebody will bring soup and bread and also dessert because I didn't give that up for Lent. 5:30, and you don't have to have come to any of the others to join in. So please come. Also, our Love Thy Neighbor Committee has Iris Christensen. It's an insert in your bulletins. She wrote a book called My Kind of Good Trouble, and she is going to come and meet with us after church and discuss activism and her book, and it'll be interesting. It's okay if you haven't read the book yet. It's also okay if you have. So please plan on staying for that. That will be April 13th, right after church. That's Palm Sunday. So we'll wave around our palms and then go hear about activism. Palm Sunday was a day of protest. And now here are first UCC welcome statement. Come to me, Jesus said, all who are weary. First UCC, Sauk City is an open and affirming congregation. That is what everyone is welcome means to us. Whoever you are, whatever your story, however you identify, whomever you love, we would value your friendship and welcome you into our community. Every part of you is precious to God, and all of who you are is welcome at First UCC. So come to worship and to be nourished by bread and cup at Jesus' table. Stay to serve Sauk City and beyond. We look forward to getting acquainted. Now let's take a few moments of silence to come into this holy time and space. Let your body relax. Let all the busyness of this morning flow away from you. Feel the tension that you might be carrying in your shoulders, your back, your stomachs. Let it go. Notice your breath. Breathe deeply. Breathe in. God is love. Breathe out. I am loved.
Would you rise if you are able and join me in the call to worship? Gentle God, we thank you for this Lenten time of worship. Deepen our prayer. Teach us to understand ourselves, to be reconciled with one another, and to love you with profound attention. Lead us into simplicity of faith. May our actions match our intentions, that as individuals and as a congregation, we might be strengthened in following you and renewed in your grace. Amen.
And our hymn is number 742 in the New Century Hymnal. That's the black one. And words are up here. Join me in our prayer of unburdening. Christ Jesus, So often we pay attention to what does not bring life. We are distracted by the temptation of the many things that vie for our attention, by the priorities of empire, by what culture tells us to value. We intend to voter to what truly matters, our faith, those we love, our own spiritual wholeness, yet somehow we fail to give our time and attention to what we value most, what you value most. And here, the assurance of God's grace. Divine love is infinite. It holds the universe together. It is built into us at a cellular level. No matter how often we focus on shiny objects, on new toys, how often we admire the wealthy and powerful while blaming the poor and oppressed for their misfortune, God will give us another chance, for which we all say,
thanks be to God.
It's Episcopalian. It's supposed to be the same tune as any other Gloria Patri, but we're having trouble. And there's choir. From now on, when we do that song as a congregation, you're all on the hook to do the motions with me. God will probably forgive you if you don't. All right, we have our kids' time. Would our kiddos like to come up? Hello. Oh my goodness. Hi. You're coming up for the first time. You're looking a little sleepy. That's all right. I have a book today. Hi. Takes longer to run down from upstairs. This is called The Good for Nothing Tree. We're going to hear about a fig tree today. I'm so glad to see so many of you. You can move that. Once a gardener planted a fig tree. Everyone was excited about watching it grow. Its leaves would give shade. Its fruit would be sweet to eat. The children could hardly wait to taste the figs. Has anybody eaten figs?
But it was in the fig bar.
Oh, yeah, those were good. Spring bloomed to summer. Summer cooled to fall. Fall blew into winter. Winter warmed into spring. All the seasons passed. Sometimes you gotta walk around. Why is it taking so long, the kids asked. Why are there no figs? Some people wondered, will that fig tree ever grow up? And the gardener said, it takes time. There they are, the little teeny tiny fig tree. It's not very big yet. Everybody see?
No figs on it.
No figs. Just barely a couple of leaves. Another summer, another fall, another winter, another spring, and still no figs. Some people shook their heads. This tree will never amount to anything. The tree dropped a tiny leaf. Good for nothing tree. Two more leaves fell, and the tree shivered in the wind. Ugh, the gardener moaned. The leaves are still so small, there's no sign of figs. This is not good, not good at all. It's time to start over with a new tree. And the kid said, no, not yet. The fig tree just needs some more love. That's ridiculous, the gardener said. Trees don't need love. This one just doesn't grow. We should get rid of it. It's not worth waiting any longer. No figs. Please give the tree more time, the kids begged. Don't give up. We'll take care of it. The gardener sighed. Go ahead, but it won't matter. This fig tree is good for nothing. That's just the way it is with some trees. The kids tried anyway. They pulled weeds, they trimmed branches, they added mulch, they watered the tree. Sometimes they got very wet, too. That happens. Loving the fig tree wasn't too hard. It just took time. Summer went, and then fall, and winter came, and spring arrived. It's a little bigger. Some people shook their heads. Look at those silly children. That good-for-nothing tree is just taking up space. Enough dilly-dallying. It's time to plant a new tree. But the children didn't want another tree. They wanted this one, and they didn't care how long it took. It's definitely bigger. They loved the tree, and they worked, and they watched, and they waited, and there were still no figs. So the kids tried again. They worked, and they watched, and they waited. Then as spring turned into summer, buds appeared. They were tiny, But if you looked hard enough, you could see them. The children kept watering and weeding, watching and waiting. Those little tiny purple dots? Those are figs coming. Before long, the small leaves grew big as umbrellas. The children took a deep breath. What does our tree smell like to you? One kid said, I smell maple syrup. Coconut, another one shouted. Ooh, it's vanilla, said another child. Everyone agreed that the figs looked like purple raindrops. Each day, the kids rested in the shade of the leaves. They picked the fig, peeled away the wrinkly skin, and ate this sweet, juicy fruit. That is kind of what figs look like, purple raindrops. Summer came to an end, and the children sat under the tree with a picnic of homemade fig balls, fig cookies. It took so long to grow, one kid said. You are right to be patient, the gardener told them. That's just how it is with some trees. A second child said, it isn't just some tree. It's our tree, and it needed us. Another kid said, it needed love. A fourth kid said, it loves us back. Another kid said, I'm so glad we waited. We never gave up. And each of them took a sticky, delicious bite of fig. This is a story that's in the Bible. Yeah. Jesus, this story is in the Bible about the fig tree. Jesus wants to give everybody time to grow up and to become who they're supposed to be. So, let's pray. Holy God, help all these kids in our lives, in our hearts, in our Sunday school to grow in wisdom, in faith, in love of you, love of neighbors, love of themselves. May they know they are precious. May they produce such good fruit. May they love. Amen. All right, and Mrs. McFarlane, I brought some fig bars. If it's okay to take them to Sunday school, then the kids can have fig bars, if that's all right with parents too. Oh, you can take them. There's some different kinds.
Thank you.
Yes, of course.
And the wealthy among us help the needy, and we always keep together. And for all things wherewith we are supplied, we bless the Maker of all through his Son, Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Ghost. And on the day called Sunday, all who live in cities or in the country gather together to one place. And the memoirs of the apostles or the writings of the prophets are read as long as time permits. Then, when the reader has ceased, the president verbally instructs and exhorts to the imitation of these good things. Then we all rise together and pray, and when our prayer is ended, bread and wine and water are brought, and the president in all like manner offers prayers and thanksgivings according to his ability. And the people assent, saying, Amen. And there is a distribution unto each and a participation of that which over thanks has been given. And to those who are absent, a portion is sent by the deacons. And they who are well to do and willing give what each thinks fit. And what is collected is deposited with the president, who succors the orphans and widows and those who, through sickness or any other cause, are in want, and those who are in bonds and the strangers sojourning among us, and in a word, takes care of all who are in need. but Sunday is the day on which we all hold our common assembly, because it is the first day on which God, having wrought a change in the darkness and matter, made the world. And Jesus Christ, our Savior, on the same day, rose from the dead. Here ends our reading.
Thank you, Chris. And our gospel reading today is from Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans?" "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for another year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. So our Lent theme has been attention and intention. And the reading that Christy did is from Justin Martyr. His name was Justin, and he was a martyr. Just a century after Christ. He was describing how Christians worshiped. So on Sunday, they would get together. They would hear from the Acts, the letters, the apostles. They would hear the stories of Scripture. Then the presider would talk. Then they would have bread and wine. Everyone would get some. Next, they would take a collection to take care of all the oppressed. Does any of this sound familiar? Yeah, it's not all that terribly different in some ways. We hear the scripture. Someone talks. We share bread and wine. We collect to build our church community. That's important. All the other things we do, those can vary. We'll come back. So note that these Lenten readings we've been hearing for a few weeks are about power. They're control versus dependence. There's revenge or being vulnerable, violence and mercy. First week of Lent, temptation in the wilderness, Jesus refusing to have the things of empire, the things of Caesar, like bread and protection and a kingdom. Second week, Herod is plotting to kill Jesus, and we hear about the hen and the fox. And today we hear about violence, the violence of Herod, and the mercy of the gardener. So Caesar, Herod, Pilate, this is the trinity of bad guys in Scripture at the time. So Jesus stood teaching in the streets, as he often did, teaching people who had never known a world in which they were not dominated by corrupt leaders, religious leaders, and by civil leaders, Pilate, Herod, Caesar. They were malnourished, often uneducated, They were pawns in the power struggles of tyrants. Rebels and malcontents hung on crosses at the edge of town to remind them, lest they forget for a second, what happens to people who act up. So some who were present report to Jesus. I imagine these are the current events of the day. They've been reading the Jerusalem Times or whatever. Pilate had killed Jews at worship in the temple. We don't have historical record of this particular incident, but there is a lot of record about how cruel Pilate was. So Jews are at the altar in the temple, ritual practices there, and Pilate desecrates this sacred place with murder. This is an insult to the Jews, to God. And Jesus refers to another tragedy. Maybe it was an accident. We don't know about this one either. A tower, Siloam, in South Jerusalem fell, and 18 were killed. Persecution, as with Pilate, or maybe accident, as with the tower. Terrible things happen, right? This is still true in our time. And death can come anytime. Crossing an intersection, we don't know. Or shootings and violence, Flint's water, a measles outbreak, drought, Ukraine and Israel and Palestine. The list of evils is far too long, and it grows every day. It makes me want to blow raspberries, too. Yeah, that's right. And Jesus says, do you think those people, those who were murdered by Pilate or who were killed, were any more guilty than anybody else? Traditionally, in misfortune, victims were blamed. Job's comforters try to say that he had sinned or his kids had sinned, and that's why bad things happened. They encounter a blind man, and Jesus' apostles all say, was it him who sinned or was it his parents? Why is he being punished? And Jesus says, neither. That's not how it works. But though scripture says a couple of times it doesn't work like that, we still hear such statements. And we still hear such statements. Some have suggested that HIV is punishment for homosexuality. Colorado state senator some years ago opposed HIV funding for pregnant women, saying that babies born with it are punishment for being promiscuous. A Virginia legislator said that disabled kids are punishment for women who were not virtuous. And there's the reverse thought, that people who are loved by God are going to prosper and receive riches. Prosperity gospel. We've heard of it. It's an abomination. But it's popular. Oral Roberts, Joel Osteen, Pat Robertson. It's related to this old Protestant work ethic. God rewards those who are good and punishes those who are not. I mean, it's what we would do if we were God, right? It's how we tend to conduct our society. So, if people are poor, they deserve to be poor. And who are we to go against God's will and try to help them? It's a not uncommon way of thought, and it is not congruent with Christianity. There is money in the Bible, it's pretty much altogether a negative view. Sometimes not entirely, a little nuanced, but pretty negative. So Jesus says, no, blessed are the poor and the mourning and the hungry and those who are mocked and hated by others. Blessed are you who have none of those things that we talk about as rewards. So who have wealth, and food and good reputation in this life, they already got theirs. So in today's gospel, Jesus responds to these deaths in Jerusalem in classic Jesus style. They're turned into a warning for listeners. The people who died were not more sinful, were not more deserving of punishment than anyone else. You can't argue from sudden tragedy the existence of sin. Like, Jesus himself is proof of that, right? His death was, according to Rome and Pilate and Caesar and Herod, was punishment for sin. What Jesus is saying instead is that this is the way of the world. Death is not that far away for any of us, and it could happen while at church or in standing under a wall. It can happen, and there's no time to prepare when it happens so suddenly. There were some rabbis, early Christians, who talked about repenting right before death. We talked about Emperor Constantine in our dinner the other night, who became Christian and then waited a very long time to be baptized because he still had a lot of sinning he wanted to do. And he wanted to make sure that was all forgiven. So Jesus calls for repentance in today's gospel, not just turning from sin, but accepting God's kingdom and all the joys and responsibility that come from representing Christ in the world. For the reader, for us who hear this word on the third Sunday of Lent, these notices serve as a reminder that Jesus is himself headed toward Jerusalem, the city where all these terrible things happened, and more terrible things will happen. Pilate murdered Galileans, just like Jesus. So he warns that we might not have time for repentance, that we might think there's time, but we could run out at any moment. And how differently might you live if you knew that a wall was going to fall on you next week or next month or next year? No one knows, so don't put off what you need to do. Don't put off turning your life around. Don't put off prayer. Don't put off love. Don't put off. You don't know if you'll get the opportunity. We may have 50 more years. We may have 2 more days. And however long we have, your life isn't going to be less busy next week or next month or next year or in 5 years or in 10 years. You know, we tend to wait. Once we get through Lent, once we get through Easter season, once the summer is past, once we're to Christmas and through the holidays, then things will slow down. They don't. And also, I haven't really learned this lesson yet myself. Jesus says, do it now. Do it now. Do those good, important things now. Those people who were killed by Pilate, what did they regret? What did they mean to do but not get around to? So love God now. Love your neighbor now. Love your family now. Do good in the world now. And then we hear the story of the fig tree, the good-for-nothing fig tree. The owner has come seeking fruit for 3 years, and the situation is looking hopeless. The tree has not given figs. Perhaps fairly, he says, let's dig this one up. Toss it. And the gardener says, no, let's have mercy. Let's wait. Let's give it another chance. Gardener promises to tend to the fig tree, giving it some manure. And so we hear these two very different stories. Pilate and empire cutting people down right now, and God saying, or the gardener who is symbolizing standing in for God in this story. I want you to have more time. I want you to get to all those things. It seems contradictory, right? You hear, you might not have any more time, and then you hear God wants you to have more time, but it's not contradictory. Because both tell us, both these stories say God's not punishing people by cutting them down. The world does that. Pilate does that. Caesar does that. Repent now because you might not have more time. And on the other hand, if you do the things that are important now, there's not a downside to that. So he tells these stories together to emphasize mercy. Caesar, Herod, Pilate, they don't have it. They're wrapped up in empire, and God will always give more chances. And next to the other stories, it tells us that God's not choosing the time. God doesn't do that. God doesn't say, hey, your day is up. God didn't create these systems of empire and domination and haves and have-nots. Jesus is telling us who's to blame here. It's not God. It's Caesar. It's Pilate. It's evil and selfishness and greed and cruelty. It is violence. Now, the empire wants the people who got killed to be blamed. They should have done what they were supposed to do. If Jews didn't act up, they wouldn't get in trouble. Empire wants us to blame the victims. Next week, we hear the story of the prodigal son, which is one of my favorites. I know I say that about a lot of stories. There's some good stuff in the book. God is waiting for you to come home. God is waiting for you. God is longing for you. You just don't know how long you have, so don't put it off. God is endlessly patient, and we live in a world where things happen. God doesn't make them happen to punish us, but they do. We can't understand. All these explanations of tragedies fall short. Why did X bad thing happen? Don't blame God. Herod murdered because Herod was a murderer, and the political system gave him power. Pilate killed people because he was a bad man, and the system of empire rewarded bad men who got things done. Children drank poisoned water in Flint because of bad decisions as a result of cost-cutting and probably systemic racism. Shooter killed people in a church because he was mentally ill and, no, not mentally ill, filled with hate and anger and had access to guns. And God didn't do that. Bad things happen. People cause a bunch of them. Some of them we make worse because of greed or stupidity, but it's not God. So life isn't fair, but we can be fair. Life is a mix of ugliness and beauty and kindness and selfishness, and our choice is which of those to embrace. Life isn't always beautiful. Sometimes it is. We can be beautiful. Amen. And our hymn is in the New Century Hymnal, number 586, Come to Tend God's Garden. And it is time to share prayers with God who knows and loves us in all things. Are there prayers to share today? Why, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'd like to keep in our prayers Carol Hagenberger. Mark Perrick broke his wrist this week, so let's hope he doesn't let the dog trace him down again and break the other wrist. Also, I would like to thank everyone that helped deliver Meals on Wheels to our community people that are homebound this week. And finally, blessings for Herm and Deb Chudy and the Thurwachters as they're heading home soon. So blessings for safe travels for them.
Any more prayers to share? Let's take a few moments of silence for the prayers that we hold in our hearts. God does know. Holy God, we pray today for Carol, son, family, or Mark, for all those, especially in our congregation, in need of healing. We pray with gratitude for those who deliver Meals on Wheels. We offer traveling prayers for all those in our church who are traveling. We pray for the prayers that we hold in our hearts and for all those people we've promised to pray for. We have a little bit of good news today, again. I will admit, I think I've said, at a former church, I was trying to include some prayers from outside the congregation to just remind us of things in the world. And I then found that I was looking at all the most terrible things in the world, trying to decide if this natural disaster or that man-made disaster or this other was worse. And how do I choose between those? And I thought, after a while, not that long, I need something beautiful to pray for. And maybe you all do too. So, been including this. Jefferson Early Learning Center in Houston. It was built in 2022, and instead of putting in a lawn, they restored 20 acres to native prairie and wetland and created a habitat for a bunch of plant and animal species. The students can walk around on trails and learn about the prairie. The native plants can withstand temperatures, which are getting ever higher. Average temperature over 90 degrees in the summer and increasing. They also have major floods every couple years, but the prairie land can hold more water, so flooding will be reduced. A number of experts who help out and provide grants and money for early learning said that a lot of these facilities, when applying for grants, are looking for funds to help facilities improve. And the majority of those have to do with climate, asking for things like misting systems and air filtration and shade and turf. So this is a good thing. Thanks be to God. And now let us pray as Jesus taught us. There's a version here. You can use whatever words are comfortable. Holy Parent who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and lead us not into our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And God invites us to share from our many blessings to build this community. So this has been part of the service since way, way back. God of generosity and compassion, remind us of the healing love of Jesus. Remind us that this is a very good time to bring hope and love to others, especially the oppressed and those in need. May our hearts and actions and words reflect your generous compassion. Amen. May I sit? Communion. Many of you came from other traditions where the table is not open to everyone. That is not my kind of theology. It's not our kind of theology. I think the table belongs to Jesus, and Jesus ate with sinners, tax collectors, women, prostitutes, Pharisees, all kinds of people Jesus sat with, and they were welcome at a table. So that's how this table operates. There are also some denominations that have very precise, this is how you bless, these are the words. In the Catholic Church, there are four, maybe it's five variations. So you can use one, the priests can use one of those four or five every Sunday. We don't have that. Here we tell the story. We say the prayers and we share. So, on his last night, the night before he was arrested, Jesus sat with his friends. He taught them about love. He washed their feet. He said, "This bread is my body." He broke and blessed it and said, "Eat and remember me. Remember these teachings. Remember these tables. Remember that I gave my life for love of you." He took a cup of wine. He blessed the wine and said, "This is my blood. It is shed for you. Drink and remember. Remember who you are. Remember you are beloved, you are beautiful. Remember to love others." Holy Spirit, pour your gifts into this bread, this wine. May they be for us bread of life, cup of love. May we become what we eat, as Jesus intended. In your name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. This is 99.7 FM Baraboo, 103.7 FM Reedsburg, AM 740, and streaming live everywhere. WRPQ Baraboo, W279 EG Reedsburg.
99.7
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.